Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
My granny gave me a bucket of fish and she said, can you take this bucket of fish to your uncle who wants some fish and give him this bucket of fish? And I said yes. And then I did it because I'm a good little boy. I'm a good little boy. I'm a good little boy who does what my granny says. Always. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank.
The podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy Matthews.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
If you've got it, flaunt it, Alistair.
And joining us in the think is Matthew.
James. Paul, if you count
Paul.
Names, you take it of confirmation.
I do count that.
Yeah.
Stuart. I said it like you would.
Thank you.
Stuart. Have you noticed he talks a bit funnier than everyone else?
I consider mimicry the greatest, especially mocking mimicry, the greatest of compliments.
Stuart. It's not. I'm not really meant to be mocking you. I do find the Canadian accent to be a beautiful accent.
Is imitation still the greatest form of flattery? If you do it in a voice like this.
I reckon the greatest form of flattery is saying nice things.
What? That makes me think of an idea that we came off pod.
Yes.
About ladies or gentlemen in your area who give you compliments.
This is I'm not interested in the hotness of the singles in my area. Facebook ads or Gumtree or
I don't care about the hotness of my Facebook ads.
Yeah. But I do care about singles in my area. They don't even have to be singles. They just have to be people in my area who are willing to give me compliments.
Online. Even if they're just pretending.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you were saying that it's better if they know a bit about your life.
Well, like, so it makes it seem like it's not just generic.
Yeah. I reckon anyone can just get generic compliments. There's probably a bot that can do that.
Well, I think you can just say you are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have value.
Yeah, you have value and are good.
Actually,
this is
kind of working for me a little bit.
I know you're not even looking at me when you're saying it and it's working.
You have a good soul.
Oh my god.
And you will be rewarded in the afterlife. But remembered fondly on Earth, and people will do things in your honor, like recreate your work.
I'm going to set all of that as my alarm every morning. I'm going to wake up feeling on top of the world.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, because I reckon there's a market out there for sort of general affirmations, right? But I don't think any of them go into that domain of like just outright direct flattery.
Yeah.
Like really talking about you like you're basically a world leader and a good world leader, which there are precious few of these days.
Good ones?
Yeah.
Just Angela Merkel?
Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel.
Yeah.
Wait, so what am I writing down? Hot.
Well, I think there's...
complimenters in your area.
Yeah, but I think also you struck upon something with your delivery there, Alistair, because you were kind of just doing the generic compliments, which I found quite good. So I feel like even just like a robot that could do that, I would be on board.
So they don't, and does that have to be a hot robot?
It certainly helps.
Yeah, all right.
But what about like a vending machine in the street, where instead of being full of Coca-Cola and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. you just go up and you put in your card, you tap your card, you put in a dollar if it's an old one.
Yeah,
right, and it'll just tell you, just give you a compliment. Right, you just fill up on endorphins.
Well, you know what would be good is that if let's say that one of these companies, like it's like Coca-Cola, and it could be Coca-Cola, because what's good about Coca-Cola in this circumstance is that it's everywhere, right? And that would allow them to spy on you at all times, right? And I think that's what that would be a benefit in this circumstance, right? And then you go to the Coke machine, right? And then you put the money in.
Hang on, how are they spying on you at all times? Because they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They've got machines everywhere. They probably got things inside cans of Coke, listening devices, and, you know.
Probably
some of those post-mix machines as well. Don't think about that. As well as the Coke machines, you know, the canned Cokes and things like that. And then they also own a lot of water things, and water bottles are everywhere now.
It's everywhere.
And landfill.
Garbage.
And things like that. Anyway, so then they could listen to you. And then, if you pay your money at the Coke machine or whatever, instead of getting a can of Coke, this is when they've changed business or gone into other things, you press into there, and then it goes to something that happened during the day, and it says, it was really nice of you to not look angrily at that poor person. Like that, and it gives you
and a feel-good and compliment. That's so personal, because so you know that you didn't look angrily at that poor person, because we all want to look angrily at poor people, and it could tell, right? No. And so the fact that you didn't angrily look at that poor person, it knew that that must have been a conscious effort for you, and that, you know, there being no karma in the world, there was no way you were going to get rewarded for that unless you paid $2 to a sort of a big rectangular box at a train station that had been watching your every move.
That's right. And it knew that you didn't want to feel guilty for, you know, that you want to feel good about not looking angrily at poor people. So it also didn't judge you.
For wanting to feel good about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Right. So it absolves you. It's the absolvitron.
It's essentially, it's everywhere. So it's essentially a replacement for God.
That's great. I want to find God.
Well, Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
You reckon Coke is the answer?
Well, they're getting there.
Yeah.
They're getting there.
I don't like cola.
Well, you don't have, that's the thing, is that they do water now. They've just recently bought into kombucha. Have you ever had any kombucha? I just kind of don't like the idea.
I don't like the idea of a drink being alive.
Yeah, well, most of it isn't, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's the bit that is that's worrying to me.
Sure.
I know you scientists will tell me everything's alive.
Everything is alive. No, you're right.
There's bugs on your tongue right now. Yeah. Stop being a baby.
Every time you breathe, you're breathing bugs into your lungs.
There are bugs on your tongue. They're like crawling around. We can all see them. I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
You've been lying open mouth in some sort of pile of rotting meat or something.
Yes. But that's
my tongue is rotting dead meat.
But that's one of the lesser things to worry about, since everything that you think is not alive is also alive.
Mm.
Yes.
Because of like a Herbie the Love Bug style spirit that inhabits all non...
Is that what Herbie is? Herbie's alive because he's got some sort of a spirit.
Good gut bacteria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And lightning. You know, it's a Freaky Friday scenario with lightning and gut bacteria. He's actually...
So someone had just spewed up in kombucha. Herbie. Some kombucha in Herbie. It got struck by lightning.
And does that mean that, so Herbie got the spirit of the gut bacteria. Does that mean someone's gut bacteria has the spirit of a Volkswagen Beetle?
1960s Volkswagen.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that do for your intestines?
It increases your
reliability.
Emissions. Oh.
Increases your gut bacteria's reliability.
You can digest diesel.
Mm. But it also means that your gut bacteria is then the direct result of decisions Hitler made to start companies.
So you're complicit.
You're not complicit. So that you're with your gut bacteria, and since you kind of are all the organisms in your own body, you're now complicit in the Holocaust.
You're basically a Nazi.
I mean,
statistically speaking, because there are a higher number of Nazi organisms so in maybe your gut than there are, you know, conscious beings which make up you. You are statistically overrun with Nazis.
But you would be maybe a really good candidate for the Absolvitron. You go up and
exactly.
Say, hey, yeah. I got Nazi gut bacteria, and then the machine will tell you that's okay.
Yeah.
That's great. So you can, oh,
Also Yakult, which has got good bacteria.
Oh, so that's sort more like the allies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. That's
if yeah. you if you believe, you know, the history is it's been told to us at Australian schools. Mm. That we're the good guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit suspect, isn't it?
Yeah. 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 Oh, interesting. We're the good guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how convenient. Eh? Oh, well, how coincidental that we're always the good guys.
Are we always the good guys?
I think so, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, as my education told me.
Yeah. That's
I've learned
accurate.
Some things since that yeah. weren't so nice, but.
Yeah, but that's because you didn't, you veered off the narrative.
Yeah, I did.
And that's why you. That's because you have the spirit of a Volkswagen inside.
It was me.
It was
me all along.
Yeah.
Wait, but then if we're not necessarily the good guys, that might mean that. Yeah. So you're suggesting that you're. God.
I'm sorry to go down this path.
You know, German. The German word for good is gut or gut.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
That is.
How's it spelled?
G-U-T.
Really?
Das ist gut.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Das, which is an acronym, D-A-S.
Doug yes. Anthony All-Stars.
Doug Anthony All-Stars.
With one of the A's gone. Yeah.
Is. That's.
Is?
Yeah, that's is.
One of the other A was taken to the R is. Was that on this take?
Yeah. That was, I think that was a different version of our attempt to do a different podcast that only failed by virtue of the fact that we hadn't switched on Matt's microphone.
Yeah.
I like how long it took us to realise. Well, me, I never did.
Yeah.
I like how long it took Andy to realise.
Yeah, I'm still realizing.
Somehow I thought my headphones were only not projecting my voice into my ears. It was real. Like, I was fiddling with the knob.
You were.
That whole time.
Yeah, you should have been playing with the microphone levels, but instead, fiddling with that knob the whole time, Matt.
Can't stop. Anyway, sorry to. I feel like you guys would normally have come up with three or four.
I think,
but
well,
by
I think
now.
I think that the machine, the compliment machine,
yeah.
is a separate sketch to hot. Complimenters in your area or people in your, you know, that some sort of an app that will connect you with people in your area who will just sort of, I don't know, come to your comedy festival show or
wait,
I don't know, donate to your Patreon.
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/2intank. Thank you so much, everybody.
You don't have to be hot
that.
Or in our area
yeah.
to sign up.
But when you do sign up, we consider you to be both.
Yes.
Both hot and in our area. But what I was going to say was I was just thinking about that machine. Mm. Here's kind of where the kind of Coca-Cola is everywhere compliment. And what did you call it?
Absolvatron.
Absolvatron kind of machine. Is that maybe it's been also created as a way of like fixing people's, dealing with people's mental health. So then you can always just be made to feel good by, obviously, you know, this is based on a real misinterpretation of how mental health works. And that every bit of mental health can be fixed with compliments, right?
But imagine if we found out that it could. It's just some mm-hmm. people just need stronger compliments.
That's true. We probably haven't come up with a strong enough compliment.
Exactly.
And there's a fun idea there that follows a what's that thing?
Escalation.
But what's the drugs that we do with, you know, that
placebo?
No, the ones that are
ketamine.
We've built up a, you know,
resistance to antibiotics.
Antibiotics. It's like antibiotics.
Right.
That's why it's interesting. That's why there's seems to be more mental health problems now than back in the day when people were just tougher, you know, and
that's
they
what it is. We're compliment superbugs.
Exactly. We're immune.
Mm. We're immune to compliments at the moment.
So now we need to come up with a super compliment.
Yeah.
The search is on.
Is that why I always deflect them?
Yeah.
Go on, give me one right now.
Matt,
You, it's hard, isn't it?
No, no, no. Your and Matt, your beard is so.
Give me one.
Anything, anything at all. It could be about anything. Oh. Any positive part of me that
no,
you can...
see, this is the thing. My mind first went to the beard as well, and then I thought, I can't compliment Matt's beard. That's like complimenting the very surface, the outer layers, the tendrils at the edges of Matt. I
well,
want to compliment
I'm
his,
go a little bit
the
deeper.
Core of his being.
Matt.
The roots of your beard.
The skin at the base of your beard seems to be dandruffless.
Thank you so much. Yeah. But I've got to say, yours more so. I didn't deflect that very well at all. No, I forgot what was happening.
Matt, you're so good at taking compliments.
Thank you.
Wait,
I am, aren't I?
No. Hey, you said you were going to deflect these, but you're just taking all of them.
This has worked out really well.
Now give me $50. I promise I'll give it back.
I promise I'll deflect your hand.
I'll push it away at the last minute. No, no, come on.
It's like that really awful thing that some of those street performers do where they like they get a girl to kiss them on the cheek. You ever seen this?
Oh, and then they kiss them on the
and
lips.
And then as they go to kiss them, and then as they go to kiss them on the cheek, they turn their head so that the girl kisses them on the mouth.
Or do they turn their head all the way around so their neck snaps and they kiss the back of the head of a now dead man as he falls to the ground?
That is the greatest trick.
Yeah.
And you got to keep pushing the boundaries, including the torsion capabilities of the spinal cord.
Have you seen that happen in the modern day?
Modern day. I saw it happen in the last 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
You consider that to be the modern day? I think we've come a long way since then, Alistair.
The modern day started about 4 days ago.
Yeah, where? I can't think of the Hollywood guy. Was this pre or post that Hollywood guy?
Yeah, it was pre the Hollywood guy.
Yeah, well, that's...
But...
We were only aware that mistreating people was wrong
once we had
after
a framework.
The Hollywood guy. Yeah. A famous man had consequences. And that is the point at which we all realized.
I don't think he's even seen consequences yet.
But people talk about him in podcasts now.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
That's some sort of consequence.
Mm-hmm. Consequence.
Hey.
I was going to...
Why can't any of us remember his name?
I know what his name is. Harvey Weinstein.
That's great.
I thought we just weren't saying like Voldemort.
I was trying to show some consequence.
Oh.
That we'd all forgotten his name.
Oh, and I didn't... See, something you missed. It was one of those scenarios, Matt, where I don't know that you're joking.
Well, I didn't either. I was just talking. I really couldn't remember his name.
Do you ever, you know, because now because your sense of humor can be so subtle sometimes, you know, and
so subtle, it's hard to even know. Yeah, it's
but then,
funny.
But sometimes, do you ever use that to your advantage? Because, you know, I could imagine that occasionally you say something that isn't a joke, but then people laugh and you go, yeah, that was a joke.
I imagine that's your whole comedy career, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a joke.
Yeah, that was a joke. And then
I try not to
leave from side to side.
I try not to be so shifty. But
yeah, that was a joke.
Yeah, when people laugh, I normally just nod.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what was meant to happen.
And
everything else was set up.
Yeah.
I nod until the laugh stops, and then I say another thing that may or may not be. Still proven otherwise.
So this is, I think, look, the idea that I had with this machine, right? So it's the Coca-Cola one. So it keeps giving you compliments, and but that absolve you of feeling bad for whatever little guilty things that you felt, right? So it kind of, it's like a de-shamer, right?
Great. I feel like this would have to be done then via earphones.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that you put on when you get to the machine so that people in the vicinity at the train station don't overhear, because I feel like it might give away stuff that you then will feel more bad about.
Sure. I mean, I think in my mind I was picturing you still get a can, you open it like a one of those fortune cookies, and inside there's a little note.
What about you open it like a can, you put it to your lips, and it shouts it into your mouth.
Oh, that's good.
And that reverberates through, I guess,
it's a little bit of ASMR as well.
Oh, that is nice.
That's nice, a little tingle.
Or you open it up, and the sharp edge of the can, you sort of twist it into your forehead, so it presses up right up against the bone, and the skin kind of holds it in place, and then it vibrates the bone.
Yeah.
And that is connected, your skull is connected to where your ears are, so you will hear it still.
And I think that'll be great because that'll probably get through a lot of your initial defenses, you know, by going straight, you know, to the skull, vibrating the skull.
Yeah.
Does and also the pain would hopefully help to dull some of your sort of critical faculties, I think.
I mean, there's only so much scalp that you can cut off with can, though, right?
Well, eventually, I think you don't have to cut it off. You'll just have a circle and you can keep retwisting other cans into that same sort of like.
It'll become fashionable to have a circle scab on your forehead.
Yeah.
Hey, can I? I reckon maybe that's funny, or maybe it's not. But that idea that there's a stand-up comedian who doesn't know what's funny, and their whole act is just talking, and maybe it's that kind of sketch where they're talking and they're doing a talking head, and then we're seeing them on stage just talking until some people start laughing, and then they accept that applause. Is that it? Can that be a?
I think. Look,
are you doing only sci-fi sketches these days?
No.
But look, it
might sound like that, but no, we're very open to your mundane, real world, whatever it is, tediums, humdrum sort of.
Well, wasn't it? I mean, that was your idea. I'm just repeating it back to you.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It was my analysis of you.
Yeah. and I loved it.
But it's almost, I hate to take it into a science thing, but it is almost an evolutionary or like a scientific approach to comedy of just like putting out there just random things and seeing what survives and then...
Well, I mean, the guy, it's just a guy who's taken a very different route to making a stand-up hour, right? Mm. So he's not a funny guy, right? Mm. But what he's done is he's just put on... like a 36-hour show.
Yeah.
Right? And he just has he's got people working for him that are bringing in fresh audiences every 3 hours or so.
3 hours, wow. I mean, that's still...
And then he just talks, right? Yeah. He's filming the whole thing. It's 36 hours of footage, right? And then every now and then when something ends in a laugh, he goes, put that in the edit. Well, first he nods. And like he meant it.
Is he talking to himself? To listen back to the tape?
He's got a guy. Or he could, you know, or he goes like this. He goes like that, and he claps.
That's an edit point. They cut that out.
Yeah, and then they just build an hour based off of this 36-hour show.
I think it might have to be longer than 36 hours. Yeah. If he's just talking at random to like audiences who are constantly shifting through.
I know, but like that's... Let's see, there's 36 hours. That's... Wait, hang on. Oh, my God. How many? Trying to think. Hey?
12 sets of audiences.
That's... No, wait. 36 hours, and there's 60 minutes, which means he would have to... Oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
36 times?
Like, yeah, like it's only like 1 minute per... No, it's not 1 minute, but it's like...
It's one minute.
It's like 1.5 minutes, 1 minute 20 per hour that needs to be funny.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, well, that sounds doable.
Yeah.
It sounds achievable, right? You could fluke a minute 20 of being funny every hour. Maybe? In front of a crowd when you're trying?
When it really counts, sort of? Not really.
Yeah.
Surely.
You did say that this guy is just totally unfunny, though. So.
He is completely unfunny. He's gonna need somebody who makes these decisions.
I mean, there's this way, but then there's also the option to just, you know, there's only a certain number of words in the English language. There's only a certain number of combinations of those words.
Okay.
I mean, it's a high number, but it's certain. And then you just, you know, you just work your way through them until something hits.
Well, now, if you know nothing about comedy, and
I'm prepared to put my hand up close to that
every time I get on stage, right? Where would you start with if you were going to just try and talk to...
Be about your day, right? That'd be the first thing.
Yeah, you think your day? That's a great anchor point.
It's
yeah.
very relatable. It's very real.
Yeah. And so where would you actually start?
Oh.
Breakfast?
Breakfast, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
I think this is the thing. You always think of the day of starting at breakfast. Bed. Not at all.
No.
Bed, shower?
I had my breakfast today at like 1 p.m. That's a lot of day before that.
Did you get Bircher from the cafe?
Yeah, I love Bircher.
Yeah. I thought you said you were trying to quit that.
I didn't know. I lied to you there, but
oh my god,
I had oats at home.
I bring you on my podcast.
I know, I'm sorry,
essentially my home.
I just wanted it. I wanted you asked me. I thought I'd give you the answer you wanted. No, I had a bowl of uncooked porridge, basically. Oats with milk.
Ah, I understand why you waited so long this morning.
I think it would.
And I also had it in the morning. I'm telling you a story from last week.
I think it would be great if.
But it was so good. I thought I could.
It was a really good
lift
story.
It from last week and implant it into my day to day.
But you're way too honest, Matt.
You saw right through me.
I could tell. I could tell you weren't being.
That's why you were follow up questions, and I crumbled under the the thing people, lawyers do.
Yeah.
Interrogation.
Yeah.
That's passing the bar. Mm. having breakfast.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In the courtroom to the witness.
Yeah. Cross-examination.
I don't know why, but I love the idea of a lawyer defending a case whilst eating a bowl of cereal standing up.
And so this is no big thing to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove you're guilty before I even finish this bowl of Cheerios.
But what if...
Wait, didn't you say they were defending a witness? man, he's going to prove him guilty before he's finished the bowl of... I may have misheard one or both of you.
Yeah, no.
I meant the thing that was correct in the context.
Yeah, I mean, but can a defendant prove that the witness is guilty?
A defendant is now proving that the witness is guilty, not even a lawyer. Jesus Christ. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
How good is that, though? You are not even a lawyer.
Eating a cereal.
You're the defendant, right? You're on trial here for a crime. You prove that a witness, you, the defendant,
have the enough evidence on you, on your person, to convincingly end the trial.
And it's a surprise witness. You didn't even know they were coming in.
You're like the MacGyver of lawyers, but untrained and on trial for a murder.
Could be that somehow doing that Perry Mason style trick. Only he normally would, like, he slammed down a briefcase and the defendant said then they couldn't move their neck. And they, but instead you do it by throwing a bowl of cereal at them.
Did he slam it down on their neck?
It's I didn't question at the time, but surely the fact that a loud noise happened and then they instinctively turn their neck doesn't prove that they don't have a crook neck. Does that really prove anything? I mean, Andy, have you seen this episode I'm talking about of a show from before we were born?
I didn't know. I thought you were talking about Tyler Perry, the guy who makes those.
Yeah, he was dressed up as his grandma or something.
Yeah.
Tyler Perry Mason.
Yeah, that's what I was talking
Is this
about.
Sort of like Matlock?
Yeah, maybe. I don't even know if it's a real if it's a thing I'm remembered wrong or what.
Perry Mason, it sounds very much like a thing. It sounds Thank like God. A thing that reference we would have seen in The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's probably what I've seen, the Simpsons version. Of it.
Is it like a Southern lawyer of some sort?
Yeah, I think he's just real straight-laced, but just very good at his job.
Does he have a Southern accent?
He could do.
No, but does he?
I don't think so, but I... Also,
you don't have
can't
to
even picture him.
You don't have to say things to support me.
I can't help but support you. You've done so much for me.
Matt. Now, is there a guy who's, it's like a MacGyver, but he's really good at getting himself.
He's like a verbal MacGyver.
He's like a verbal MacGyver, but also a physical evidence MacGyver and circumstantial evidence MacGyver.
So he can make physical and circumstantial evidence from things that he has available to him.
He can use things that are available to him to become evidence. He can make them evidence by not
fabricating.
No.
Is he fabricating evidence?
Maybe.
Is he slipping the bag of drugs into the pocket of the witness?
But only if they're guilty. I don't falsify evidence unless it's to get the bad guys in jail.
This is good. This is like Dexter, right?
Yeah.
Who was a psychopath killer but only killed bad guys. What if you're an evidence fabricator, right? That's your skill, right? And but you resolve to only fabricate evidence against the guilty.
And so you work with your defender, what's his brother's a lawyer who defends people, right? And then his brother tells him when the people are guilty.
Yep.
And then he goes, okay, I want you to fabricate some evidence to make me lose the case. No, that doesn't make sense.
Why can't his brother be a prosecutor?
Oh, his brother. I know, but then his job is also to make the person guilty.
Yeah, it feels like then he could misuse that.
What about the Sherlock Holmes of fabricating evidence, right? And, you know, whenever the police are investigating a crime, but it's, you know, as it stands, Sherlock Holmes is a consulting detective, and when the police are baffled, they come to Sherlock Holmes and he finds the evidence and proves what happened. Now, this is the Sherlock Holmes of fabricating evidence. The police come to him only when they're frustrated by the limitations of the legal system. And
I'm going to write that down.
Just to stop me talking. No, I understand, Alistair.
No. Sherlock Holmes of fabricating evidence. No, I think he explained it well.
Thanks. So what? I don't know what role Watson plays in this. Watson is presumably someone who's sort of a bit more well-meaning and believes in the sort of the innocent until proven guilty in the structure of the thing. But every time, Sherlock Holmes is able to fabricate such good evidence that he's always convinced that they're guilty.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I really like that. I think what with the other idea, which I'm going to still consider is just a separate idea.
Yes.
And I know this is getting weirder, but he doesn't fabricate the evidence, but he just he does not fabricating it. He just uses evidence that's on his person. Receipts, used tissues, but also he could go, well, Your Honor, and while my lawyer is eating a bowl of cereal, may I say a few things? The witness is guilty, and you can tell because I can prove the existence of string like that, and then through that somehow that would explain. Like,
well, there is the butterfly effect. We do know that there is, you know, that everything's connected, and this is getting a little bit into Dirk Gently territory. So we'd have to steer it away from that. But I think that's doable.
Yeah.
But you know, you can. If you have enough information about the universe, you can look at one object and then deduce the behavior of some other object on the far side of the known universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So presumably from the contents of this guy's pockets, he's able to deduce what took place on the evening of the 28th.
Is that what Dirk Gently is about?
Sort of. He's a holistic detective, so he's about the fundamental interconnectedness of all things.
Yeah, right.
What's holistic? That's like not quite medicine, right?
It's the fundamental interconnectedness of all things.
Oh, sorry.
No, holistic medicine is like, treating the whole body. Holistic, even though it's the whole is spelt differently.
Yeah,
right.
But it's alternative spelling.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, not only their medicine is alternative, they don't even use the W. Mm.
Yeah. Instead of calling it alternative medicine, which I think the word alternative does put people off a little bit, they should just spell medicine differently.
Yeah.
Like two D's or something
and
like that.
S.
Medicine. Yeah, medicine.
Yeah.
Medicine.
Like the French do.
Yeah.
Médecin. They should just call it alternative médecin.
Alternative médecins sans frontières, right? And it's people who go into war zones. No.
I was visualizing it of what it would be,
and they use aromatherapy, mm-hmm. and what's that weird?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acupressure. or something like that to treat victims of war.
And whilst it's not just alt medicine, it's also alt sans frontiere. So they also are just doctors, sometimes with borders. You know.
I won't do
yeah. We're sort of
that
alt...
sounds like I'd have to get a visa to go there.
Yeah, we're sort of alt sans borders. So we're also a
we're
bit
just
with
a GP.
Border. Yeah. I'm just a doc. Yeah.
I like to keep it within state lines, to be honest.
I don't really like leaving my house. This doctor does do house calls. His own house. It's usually engaged. Sorry, that's when you call your own house, you know, the phone. The phone's engaged.
If the call is coming from inside the house, mm-hmm. it would be engaged.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you reckon a lot of your listeners remember landlines?
You gotta
remember, you're talking to the modern generation.
Talking to youths.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners are 15 and under.
You gotta explain to them.
Yeah.
The dial tone is coming, or the busy tone is coming from inside the house.
Coming from inside the house is maybe my favorite joke.
Yeah.
I think it's right up there with my favorite kind of joke.
And so, have you seen
your favorite kind of joke? Oh, so when you say it's up there, you mean it's just in the realm, not of a specific kind of joke.
Yeah, no, just anything kind of... that you can use, you can jump in with, it's coming from inside the house. No matter what that is, that's my favorite.
Yeah. So what would be an example? Like
a dog that runs out a door or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, or a draft.
Yeah.
The draft is coming from inside the house.
That's funny.
Now that is interesting, though, because normally drafts do come from outside. So what are we talking here? Have you got some very cold room in your house?
Yeah, there's a cold. I've got a cold room.
Ah,
it's a fridge.
Well, there you go. A fridge.
Yeah, then, meats. I keep my meats
But then that would be a low pressure system, right? Because it's more cold.
No.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, because cold air is denser. Right.
So it's a high-pressure system.
Could be. I don't think there's a direct correlation necessarily between hot and high and low and cold or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, right.
I wish I knew, mate.
But if you're in a cool room, there's probably a fan on that's blowing air in.
Yeah, it could
which
be.
Would make high pressure, which means that's why they got to put that nice seal on there.
I think whenever there's a draft... air is going in both directions.
Oh, there's always got to be, isn't there? Or else pressure just keeps going up until it pops.
Yeah.
There'd be some sort of heat transfer. So the hot air would be being drawn into the cool room and the cold air would be getting out, right?
I don't know. If only we had someone on the podcast who was an expert at moving hot and cold air
conditioning.
Between different locations
and
air conditioning.
That was a past life, guys.
It was a long time ago, mate.
I moved on. I put my air conditioning gloves down years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, did you ever have to install an air conditioning or design an air conditioning system or whatever, or size an air conditioner, where you needed to have the room under positive or negative pressure?
Like in a medical scenario?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever had to go that hardcore. I would have had to get in like an engineer like yourself to worry about such things.
Don't bring our past into this, Matt. We're here to...
I think the witness is trying to prove you guilty.
I'm just a witness here, buddy.
I know, when you had to do old people's homes or something about... What was it?
Radiating heat instead of...
Yeah, something about... What was the thing you...
Because of the wrinkles.
About? The wrinkles, yeah.
They're like, you can't use like a regular air conditioner system for an old folks' home because they got wrinkles, which means they got more surface area from which the water can evaporate off them, which means they get colder easier. Like that.
No
They're,
way. And do they dry out as well?
Old people are essentially a heat sink, right? If you want to put your CPU somewhere, put it in the oldest person you can. Stay
like,
nice and cool.
Where would you put it? Like between their butt cheeks or something like that?
If it's an old man, right inside the ball bag. That's the coldest part. Of the coolest person.
Right, because that's already pretty wrinkly on an ordinary youthful person.
That's right. And the older you are, I think the lower it dangles.
And the lower it
which
dangles.
Which means that it's allowing colderness.
Wait, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm no ball expert, but I'm pretty sure the colder
the
balls...
Well, then why are you talking about this?
I think that's the reverse of what happens. If balls go lower when they're warmer and they shrink up and go
sure,
up.
Sure, but they go lower in order to cool down, right? To be further away from the body, they descend to... So they're,
oh, right. You
know, but when they are cold, they rise
up. Go up to get to the warmth.
Yeah, but I still think that if you had a CPU... in and you were putting it in a ball bag, you would want it to be in a dangly ball bag.
A dangly old man ball bag.
A dangly old man's ball bag who's in a poorly air-conditioned old folks' home.
Yeah, or...
inappropriately.
Or a well air-conditioned old folks'
sure,
home.
Sure, too well.
But not so well that the ball bag recedes into its sort of like more, like... what's it, would you say it's more coat-like, or what's that phase?
Coat-like.
You know, like, it kind of gets thicker like one of those plush jackets. You know, and kind of, it's like a thicker rink, you know, like the skin thickens, right?
I know exactly what you mean, but I don't have the words to describe it.
It kind
I
of
feel
it,
so
it,
inadequate.
It gets more labia-like.
Labial.
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 What?
Because it spreads when it's big and...
It spreads when it's big.
And so when it shrinks, it gets thicker. So it's, the skin gets denser.
Yeah, skin gets denser to protect from, I guess, the cold.
Yep, yep. But also by very nature of the fact that it has to retreat, all that skin has to go somewhere so it packs in more tightly.
Yeah, it packs in more
into
tight.
Into the same area.
Yeah.
This, I mean...
So the penis gets thicker and bigger using blood... but the ball bag gets thicker and harder using skin. It just fills its skin up with more skin. But
this
the dick doesn't do that.
This is
it stretches its skin out. Yet anyway.
But see, people are talking about biocomputing, right?
Yeah.
Incorporating biological things. Normally, they're talking about like encoding information in DNA and that sort of thing, and building like a neuron style. You know, brain computing process.
Nuremberg.
Nuremberg. Yes, yeah. Exactly. The Nuremberg trials.
Sorry. You were going explaining something really complicated, and then I really just... yeah, putting neurons
but
into...
But I reckon, while we're doing all of this stuff... I reckon we also get the ball bag technology in there, right? We harness the power of the ball bag to put the CPU in, and there's when we build our organic computing brain,
yeah.
That's going to be there sitting in a jar,
the
right?
Tower,
the tower underneath the tower, dangling in a little ball bag. There will be the CPU.
Yeah, or if you're just attaching an extra brain to the human, which will be your computer tower in inverted commas.
Yes.
I think it just needs to go in the bag.
It's going to go in the bag.
Go in the bag. Let it dangle. Let it stay cool so that you don't... You could overclock it.
Yeah.
That keeps it cooler. You get it in a bigger bag.
Now...
You get a bigger bag put in.
Everybody's going to have a bag.
That's fine.
That is fine. No one ever talks about the bag. But...
Do you think I'd be dumber than all your listeners? I mean, that's a hard call to make.
No. I don't think it's that hard to. That's hard to make.
I'll ask for them.
Yeah,
and maybe for me. I'm not saying that necessarily. What's CPU?
Central processing unit. And I think that probably. Yeah, I just
knew someone out there was wondering.
I've
that.
Yeah. Made
not
a
someone
mistake.
In here for it's, sure.
It's, I was trying to talk about the brain of the computer and the CPU of the computer as being separate, but of course they're going to wind up being the same thing.
That's right. It's just, look, it's the part in the computer that you have to put, it does a lot of the processing, right? It's mostly sort of the center for processing, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a unit that centrally processes.
And okay. But it gets very hot. It's filled with lots of little transistors and things like that. It gets very hot. And so they have to have its own fan on it like that. And so that's why I was talking about. And they also put a heat sink on it as well as a fan. Heat sink is those metal things like that. Multi-prong things so that there's lots of air can pass through it and take away heat.
Like an old person's skin.
Like an old person's skin, yeah. And so that's how we got to this
point.
That's
where the comedy came from.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why when I said heat sink, I know that you weren't... I mean, who's to say that it was comedy? We're just talking about putting CPUs in people's old man's ball bags. So it's not necessarily comedy.
It felt funny.
Yeah, it's. I mean, where there's old people are funny... ball bags are funny.
Yeah.
Computers are geeky.
Computers,
and geeks like comedy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's got all the elements.
Knee? Did you get a knee injury doing a podcast?
Yeah, not again.
No?
Oh.
Did it hit the spot between the kneecap and the knee?
Front like, on knee, just bang.
Oh, just cap. You hit the cap?
Cap.
That's there for protection.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess it did.
So it's like a guy out in battle. He's got this big shield, and an arrow hits his shield and he's like, protects him.
No,
and he goes,
my shield!
Oh, my shield! Oh, my fucking shield! Oh,
because his skin, he's been holding his shield for so long that his skin has grown over the shield.
That's what happened. Yeah, that's what
he placed it on an open wound.
That was wrong, like a tree.
And it's healed over the shield.
Was, yeah.
Wow.
It's almost a burden now.
Yeah, it's kind of like Captain America, but without the ability to throw his shield. He's just always on his arm.
And the shield can feel pain.
And the shield can feel pain, of course. Yeah. And he might be sort of...
Do you think that's sort of...
Here's a sketch. Captain America, but the shield can feel pain.
Well, I mean, I'm writing it down.
Could be the origin of knees. You know, maybe we used to walk around... legs in two pieces, and someone thought, let's get a shield.
I think the problem with superheroes is always that they're too powerful, right? And you always have to kind of come up with vulnerabilities for them. But I think this kind of universe in which every gift that you get given comes with its own consequence, like if you have this, you know, super cool magic shield, but it can feel pain, or you can feel pain through it.
Yeah,
that's a much more compelling Captain America, right? Yeah. Because every time he throws it and smashes people in the head, he's going ow, ow, ow.
Yeah, and he's getting concussions and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, do you think he gets the injuries that he inflicts on other people?
That would make him a pretty useless warrior. But
yeah, I know, but what a weakness.
Yeah. But
sure. a terrible warrior, but what a great victim.
Yeah, but also it would make him want to do good with his shield. So he would throw his shield at people, let's say to help them get like a cat out of a tree.
Right.
Like that.
How does throwing it at people help?
Well, let's say the person stuck in the tree holding the cat.
Holding the cat.
Yeah.
Does that
it still hurts
them?
And then
though.
It scares them. It goes by real close.
All right.
It scares them, but then it returns the cat to the person who he was trying to get it back for. And then when that happens, he gets a cat as well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Whether he wants one or not.
Whatever his shield does, it also happens to him. To somebody else, it also happens to him.
So if the shield causes somebody to get their cat back, he gets a cat.
He gets a cat. Like a new cat.
This has gone a really long way from the shield can feel pain concept.
Well, I'm just trying to think why the military would design a super soldier who could feel pain, right, through his shield. Because obviously they're trying to make super.
Whereas I can totally see why the military would want to build a superhero who can get free cats.
Well, cats that come out of just nothingness like that just appear. They go, oh, this is how we – I know it's a really roundabout way of creating
of
cats.
Getting cats.
For the military to be like, but it could be one of those accidents, like when they you know, they discovered, like, you know, the mold that could kill diseases, right? Antibiotic mold, right? Penicillin, right? And so like that, and so, but then they threw the shield at somebody and accidentally saved a cat, and then it created a new cat, and they were like, oh my god,
also it creates cats.
Well,
so this is a new way of generating life.
No cats.
Well,
cat life.
It can do anything. Whatever you can do to somebody else with your shield, it will happen to you.
What to say? Someone uses it as like an ice cast. So they need some ice for their esky. They want to keep their drinks cold. So they use that and they put water in it and then they put it in their freezer.
So an ice.
What would happen to Captain America?
So wait, they use his shield.
Get some ice.
They use his shield.
What are you saying?
Gets a disc of ice.
Yeah.
Once it's, and they'd. Take that out, put it in their esky, put their beers. next to what keeps your beers cold.
Well, there's a chance.
What does Captain America get? He gets he could get a disc of ice.
Well, no, he might get
or cold drinks.
No, well, he might get cold drinks or just a cool, refreshing feeling.
Oh, cool. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Or he might get good times with friends.
Yeah. Oh, like Coca-Cola.
Yes.
Yeah, just like them. Yeah, except, you know, not the without the compliments.
Just like Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Yeah, or he could throw his shield, let's say, at like an orphanage. And if it goes through the window like that, and then all the kids see it, and then out the other window, and then it flies around and back into his hands.
he gets a feeling of wonderment
or confusion. No,
but his shield, while it's going through the orphanage,
yes,
it signs some documents because he has his pen to it.
And his signature is a swirl.
Is a swirl. He gets all the kids.
He gets the kids because his shield signed for them?
Yeah. Well, they belong to his shield.
But because what happened to the kids was getting a parent,
yeah,
he gets his parents.
He gets a parent, yeah, exactly. So he gets a new parent, but he actually gets 54 parents.
Wow.
And so now he has an army of adults and an army of kids that
and
he can
kittens.
Use. And
cats.
And cats.
How great would it be if you could have like just so many parents? Mm. And they're all just on your side and just, like, helping out.
They all believe in you.
They all just believe in you. I mean, some of them might not, but you can afford to alienate them or, like, cut them out of your life because you've got so many more parents.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, you don't need that one anyway.
And then maybe they'll have some sort of connection in business that they'll help
give
you out with at
give
some
you a leg
point.
Up. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be like
being, nothing to them.
You know, it'd be like being a stonemason.
Mm.
Right, because parents are basically like stonemasons. They help you get jobs. They make you part. They bring you in as a part of their community.
Yep,
like that. They really root for you. I think when you're a stonemason, the other stonemasons root for you.
Mm. Mm. They're the opposite of Perry Masons, who are always trying to bring you down.
They're trickery. Stonemasons are they're like Freemasons, stonecutters. It's all in that same world.
Oh, was I saying stonemasons?
Oh, yeah, but that's right.
I meant Freemasons.
I was hearing Freemasons, but you were definitely saying stonemasons.
That's because I was thinking stonecutters. I was thinking stonecutters, which is from The Simpsons, which are the Freemasons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what are stonemasons then? Because that's obviously what they use to get from Freemasons to stonecutters. Stonemasons are stonecutters?
They're just people who work with stone.
Yeah, I think Freemasons initially was probably made of tradespeople of some sort. Right. So they were all stonemasons are people who just, like make walls and I think that's
what a weird transformation. That's got to be one of the weirdest transformations of an industry
just
to
like
a secret society that's
ever
happened. A
whole lot of plumbers decided to start a religion.
Yeah. Yeah. And then became the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Were the Freemasons involved with the Illuminati?
People think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And their symbols, like a, what do you call those?
Pyramid?
Pincer kind of things.
Pencil
like
things.
I
always thought it was like a circle pencil thing.
Yeah, compass.
Compass.
But it's not. It's a different thing. Can't remember the name of it. Damn it. But like a pincer kind of a thing.
We did an episode of a podcast about
What's your podcast?
Do go on, and it was it's on the same network. But we did an episode a little while back about conspiracy theories, and there was the Freemasons are lumped in a lot with the lizard people,
really,
or whatever. What did you call them?
Illuminati.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
right.
All wrapped up together.
That's because that's what happens. Do the Freemasons have one of those triangles pyramids with the eye on it? Did they do that?
Yeah.
Or is that the American dollar bill?
That's the dollar bill.
But where does that symbol come from?
I think that might be something to do with the Freemasons.
Ah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The triangle.
Now that you say it, that nestles into my brain and confirms it.
Creates a memory that makes me think I knew this the whole time.
Confirmed. but I mean, you guys work and came from similar fields. Engineers, it's all the same, right?
Masons, and modern-day Masons.
Science.
Yeah,
I assume you guys are lizards.
Now, look, Matt. Sometimes I feel like we've been speaking over you a fair bit today.
And so I apologize. Would you just like to have 2 or 3 minutes just to talk?
No. I think that's a good idea.
I think, oh no, I did that.
I want you to get to just start a sketch idea by yourself without any help in a really kind of like off-putting kind of, you know, way.
Not at all.
You just go, you just talk.
You start now.
And we'll just let you say whatever it is that you want to get out there, because I'm sure you've got so many great ideas and I can't wait to
That'd be great. And then is it possible if I can go shortly?
By all means. Yep,
yeah, absolutely. We're almost done.
All right, great. Now, I haven't got any thoughts, but do you want me to just start talking and see what happens?
Do you want the three words from a listener and then we can jump in and help you?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, today's three words from our listener come from our Patreon supporter, Mr. Philip Colling.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, Philip.
What a guy.
We've been getting a lot of Philip Colling action on Twitter recently.
And it's all good quality.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so sorry, Philip, that I'm kicking this off, but don't worry. Your boys will come in and help me out.
Yeah. So, Matt, here's the three words that you can base it off, but you can also, it doesn't have to be connected in any direct way. It can be this makes you think about something else.
Great.
All right. So the three words are jokes, on you.
Jokes on me. Oh, is that?
No, it's not jokes on me.
Jokes.
But you can, it can be,
jokes,
you know,
on, but jokes on me.
Me can be you.
Yeah, me can be you.
Jokes on me. Okay. So it's maybe, okay. There's the central character in the sketch. He's very paranoid and he believes no matter what that everyone's playing a joke on him.
Is he muscly?
He's very muscly.
Okay. Muscly and paranoid.
Yeah, he's a paranoid, muscly
man. He sounds pretty scary, actually.
Yeah, he is. And people don't want to. Like, every time he gets paranoid at him, they're like, no, not at all. But that only makes it worse.
That actually sounds like you're describing the Mega Bomber.
Is that a funny sketch? Is that a real thing?
You know, he's the guy recently who sent all those bombs to Democrats?
Yeah.
It is kind of funny because none of them blew up.
Oh, none of them blew up.
None of them hurt anybody and they just
called him. He's being called the Mega Bomber.
Mm. Yeah, because he was like such a deep Trump supporter.
Mega. And Mega's a Trump thing.
Make America great again.
Oh, Mega. Mega Bomber.
No, Mega.
Great again.
Make
America. America. Great.
I mean, you could shorten it in a couple of ways. I would have done Maker, but
yeah, Maker,
because he was making things. He was making bombs.
Maker bomb.
You know, and that we focus on the fact that they were bombs, but at least he was using his hands. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's probably a lost skill. Like an artisanal thing. You know, I'd like to love to go to a fair. You know, where there's the people there and they're making they're churning their own butter and that sort of thing. And then you see somebody who's actually making a bomb.
He's
you
a
know,
manufacturing.
It's a lost art. It's great, manufacturing.
Great America makes again.
Great America makes again. And Trump said he'd bring manufacturing back to America. Mm-hmm. And here is this small businessman making bombs and then sending them off to, you know, powerful people to sort of show them his work.
To
and,
the you know, Democrats those, saying, look, you've forgotten about the working class and manufacturing.
Yeah,
like
look
that.
What we can do here in America. Check out this bomb I made by myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, using ingenuity. Yeah. And they've taken it as a threat. And I think that is a indictment on where the discourse is at these days. The fact that you can't receive a gift. Mm. You know, I'm always excited when I get a package.
Mm.
And I try to be positive about it as well, you know, no matter what. Well, even if it is ticking.
Is it clear that he wanted them to blow up, or was he giving them to them?
Well, exactly.
To maybe use themselves in whatever way, maybe fishing or
that
hunting.
That they could throwing, use on their enemies.
Yeah, just blowing up your enemies. Mm. Which, mean if you're a fisherman, the fish
is your enemy.
People don't think about
it.
Is
the fish your enemy, though? Or are you working because you kind of want the fish to work with you a little bit? So, in a way, it's your colleague.
Oh, right.
You need it to work with you so that then you can kill it. Okay. So, at first, you want it to become your colleague.
The fish.
Yeah. So that, because it needs to work with you and bite your hook. So, I've got to play along a little bit. It's got to be your buddy for.
It's a two to tango kind of situation.
Yeah. And then is that a colleague thing?
Yeah, you want your colleague to work with you.
It feels more like any other sort of crime where you end up killing someone, but the first bit is, you know, you just like... And most murderers don't...
Every murder is a collaboration.
but only crimes where you need somebody to take bait first.
Right.
Because sometimes you can just... Like, if somebody, you know, let's say is just walking down the street and you have two knives like that you're holding... and then you run at them and you kind of just attack their back like that. They didn't have to do really anything, I guess.
But they had to be there.
That's true. They did have to be there.
And you've...
And they had to, like, not sort of just disappear.
Yeah.
So when you say they had to be there, like, do you mean, like, in a joke sense? Like, you had to be there. Had to be there. Like, they had to be there in order to find it funny?
Yeah.
Because the joke was on them?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
What was your sketch?
That was it. Andy just said.
No, but what was your... Where were you going? You had the muscly guy who was paranoid.
Yeah, paranoid. Yeah. The maker bomber.
I think there's a sketch in this idea of somebody making bombs and sending them out to, like, try and get people interested in that sort of thing. I also think there's a sketch in, like... It's like a Christmas or a birthday sort of a situation, or a Kris Kringle or whatever, and somebody gets, you know, they open their present and it's a bomb, right? But because of politeness, you know, maybe they're a kid or something like that, they've got to be, I guess, weird if you're giving a bomb to a kid, but like that thing of, well, you have to be grateful. You have to be like, oh, thank you so much, you know, even though it's clearly going to explode and kill you.
It's a bomb from your aunt.
Yeah, it's a bomb from your aunt. And then, like, every time they come around, you've got to get it out and, like, put it on the mantelpiece. Like,
No, I love it. I promise.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like,
one day. How long has she set this bomb for?
She set the timer in a long time. The bomb timer was affected by the Y2K bug. And so it's going to go off.
It's not going to go off until 1901.
Yeah, well, it's not going to go off until another 100 years, because I think it thought that was... But only also if you go back in time to before 2000.
And then, of course, like that family will, you know, the people who received it will die, but it'll be going to their kids. And then by that time, it's an heirloom, right? This bomb that's going to go off, and like there'd be, even, you know, tussle over who, you know, whether or not you get rid of it. And you're like, no, that's all we have to remember Aunt Millicent. Could be crocheted in some way. You know, have a little cozy on it, little knitted cozy around it.
That's really nice.
Thanks.
Should we go through this today's sketches?
Yeah, take us through them.
All right, we got...
Matt, you're still good to stick around while we just read through the sketches we come up with, or do you need to go?
Do you need to go desperately?
I'm on last in the first bracket, but the show starts at 6:30, so I got to go pretty quickly.
Okay.
I gave way too much information there.
Hot robots in your area are giving you compliments.
Yeah.
To give you compliments. We got... Humans are compliment superbugs. We've become immune to compliments, and that's why mental illness is getting out of hand.
Because people can't take a compliment anymore.
They can't. Well, they don't take a compliment because it has no effect on them.
I want to, and the scientists coming up with stronger and stronger compliments and ways to get that compliment into the body, bypassing your natural defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
By vibrating it through your skull out of a Coke can.
Yeah, that's right. That's a really good idea. Stand up. It's a stand-up who's talking and then just taking credit for when he gets a laugh accidentally. It's just a different way of a comedian doing, recording an hour stand-up. But it's also a really different way for a person who's not a comedian at all to record an hour of stand-up.
Everybody has at least an hour in them.
Yeah.
Do you think you could sell this idea to Sean McAuliffe? Do you reckon you could get him to play this comedian? He's who I'm picturing.
Yeah, but
how much are we selling it for?
But like, we're selling the idea. We go, we need somebody who's not funny to.
No, he's playing a character. It'd be a character, like a sketch.
I wasn't sure if you were insulting him there.
No, he's one of the greatest of all time.
Okay. I'm just joking. Sorry. We might be able to. I don't know.
See how much he's willing to buy it for.
I think he has I think he has very strict tastes about what he likes.
Yeah, good.
Well, tell him he can rewrite it to make it better or different or, you know, a new idea.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be worried that it wouldn't be really your idea anymore?
Not really. I just want the money.
Okay. this is a transaction for me. So.
All right, then we got stand-up. Oh, no, we got MacGyver, untrained lawyer, defendant who proves the witness guilty.
Yeah.
And then we got Sherlock Holmes.
But he can do that in any situation.
In any situation in which he's the defendant.
In a court of law.
In a court of law. Then we got Sherlock Holmes of fabricating evidence. He works with a prosecutor.
He can frame, or the police. He can frame anyone.
He can make anybody be framed because he can make the perfect evidence to prove a person is guilty, especially when they're not.
Yeah.
Or when they are. Sometimes someone's guilty, but you don't have the right evidence. And that's why sometimes police have to do bad things.
But you know he's guilty.
You know he's guilty.
He looks guilty.
Like, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You're like 70% sure. Then we got alt medicines, Médecins Sans Frontières, or alt Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then there's two versions of that. Anyway, there's a...
And then we've got also alt-right Médecins Sans Frontières.
Of course, yeah. That's when they come and only heal the white.
Yeah.
Ugh. And we got medieval guy with a shield that his skin has grown over. And
all right, how is this better? Alt-right medicine. Anyway, yeah.
Look, it's better. Yeah. Making bombs as a way to show America is good at manufacturing again. That's what I'm just trying to like summarize what that story, Matt's sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mine.
And then we have
start to finish.
Acting nice when your aunt gives you a bomb and then having to bring it out all the
time.
That's
funny. I can really picture that.
Mm.
I think that's a great sketch.
Mm.
There's also, I guess, like a...
Do you think Frances Greenslade would play the aunt?
Yes.
Yeah, and the bomb. No, but I think, imagine somebody who could play a really good clock face.
Oh.
Like that. But it's like, you're not making them up in any way. They can make their body contort into a clock face. He's the clock face actor. He does a great impression of a clock. Like that. No, not actually a clock, just its face.
A digital one.
Thank
you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much
Matt
for coming,
Matt Stewart. Tell us where people can find you.
On Twitter at @MattStew_art. Matt Stewart with an underscore.
And you also do the Primates podcast, which we've both been on. Is really, really fun.
And we're going to be on again sometime soon.
Yeah, we're going to do a follow-up. So the first proper episode was with you, Andy. The second with Al. And they were episodes about... It's all about primates and popular culture. Episode with Andy was about the movie MVP, Most Valuable Primate. We're going to do the follow-up sometime in the next month or so.
Most Vertical Primate, which is... I'm really excited to talk about it. I got a lot to say.
This chimp has just gone from ice hockey... to the vert ramp.
Yeah. And then you also do the podcast Do Go On, which I believe is on the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Yes, it's on this network as well. Do Go On.
One of my favorite, if not my favorite, podcasts.
Andy's been on that as well. Alistair keeps coming up with harebrained schemes, but he doesn't commit.
Oh, well, I've never felt like that's what you actually wanted me.
Yeah, won't you? I've invited you multiple times.
Oh, I thought you were joking. And you can find us at 2 in Tank on Twitter. I'm at AlistairTB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
You can join our Patreon and support us. And people have been, and it's been the most joyous time of our lives. Patreon.com/2in Tank.
We don't understand.
We don't understand, but there's extra episodes, 2 extra episodes a month that you can get.
They're pretty fun.
And we love you. You can also review the pod.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.